Good day, friends. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. We ask you to stay tuned for the next quarter hour as we deal once again with the theme, Passages to Ponder. In fact, this is the last day in our series of broadcasts. We have delivered 7 lessons under the caption of Passages to Ponder, and this is the 8th one. If you want to copy the outlines, of course, we mentioned before that they're without cost or obligation. Just certainly notify us, and we'll be glad to send to you the outlines that have been used with the scriptures that have been discussed. Today we want to finish off this series by going to an outstanding passage that's found in the final chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. I think this verse perhaps is familiar to many, and it reads in the following manner. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. This passage is outstanding because it ties together the importance of man complying with the will of God. We understand back in the Garden of Eden that God had instituted a law there that man should not eat of the fruit of the forbidden tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for the day that he would eat thereof, he would surely die. So there was the law and the penalty. We're aware of the fact that the Lord eventually brought the law of Moses, as is taught to us in Malachi, the 4th chapter, that people, as the Old Testament ends, were told to remember the law of Moses, that law that was given at Horeb or Mount Sinai. And then on this side of the cross, the Apostle Paul, writing in Romans 3:27, pointed out very definitely that there was a law of faith or a principle of Jesus Christ that was given. Christ said that he wanted his apostles to go into all the world. He wanted them to preach the gospel to every creature. One rendering of this so-called Great Commission is found, as you well know, in the final chapter of Matthew's biography of the life of Christ. From Matthew 28:18, Jesus announces that full authority or complete power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. He had told them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they should be endued with power from on high. In the first chapter of Acts, just before he goes to heaven, he said that they will be his witnesses after they have received that power of the Holy Spirit to carry the gospel to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. And that's exactly what these apostles did. Paul said in Colossians 1:23, as he wrote to the brethren there, that the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven. But it is an interesting factor, as they were to teach all nations, they were to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he said in the final verse of Matthew's account of the gospel, in the 28th chapter and in verse 20, he said, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even at the end of the world. And that's why this scripture in Revelation means so much, because as the Bible closes, we have this teaching again by John. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. We have told you in this series that there are things that the Lord had commanded that man should do to be made free from sin. On one of the past broadcasts, we referred to the need for repentance, and as it was stated by the Apostle Paul at the city of Athens in Acts 17:30, where he said, at the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. This was a part of their conversion, for in Acts 3:19, Peter preached a sermon in the city of Jerusalem and simply told the people there to repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Without exception, it was a commandment that men should be baptized. And as I was looking through the famous book of Acts just the other day, I found that there are 9 outstanding accounts of conversion. You'll find those conversions listed in chapter 2, in chapter 8, in chapter 9, in chapter 10, in chapter 16, and in chapter 18. And when you look at the complete picture, the composite score will include the fact that people were baptized into Christ. This was also a commandment, recognizing the fact that Peter at the house of Cornelius, after preaching the gospel to this man and to his family, simply commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. This does not stop, for in Christ Jesus we have become servants. Remember that very outstanding sequence in the 6th chapter of Romans? In verses 17 and 18, Paul said, God be thanked, though you were the servants of sin, you have obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Now we're aware of the fact that a servant has a master to follow. And it's indeed needful that if we're going to keep the Lord's commandments, we must know what those commandments are. The book teaches very plainly that Christians came together upon the first day of the week to break bread. Someone told me not too long ago, they said, well, you know, this refers to the Lord's Supper, but I don't read any place in the Bible where the Lord has actually issued us a commandment to actually come together upon the first day of the week to break bread. I'd like to ask you this question in connection with this story. As a good father, what type of children do we understand that the Lord would want to have? Would they be children that would respect their father? If there's anyone that certainly ought to be respected as a heavenly father, it would certainly be God, the Father, who gave his Son upon the cross that we might have an opportunity to be born again and come into his family. So I believe there is a definite desire on the part of Christians to love the Lord, and as Jesus said in a very clear way in John 14 and 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And as John also wrote again in his second general epistle and in verse 6, just one chapter in 2 John, but in verse 6, he simply defines love as saying, this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Someone has said that, well, I don't believe we can legislate love. Well, perhaps man can't do it, but when God has actually given a teaching, and when the Bible tells us that our love for him will be displayed by our willingness to obey, then we're aware of the fact that things can only be right for us when we as servants of Jesus Christ, when we as members of the Lord's family, are willing to do his will. So the Lord doesn't have to say, I command you, for us to understand what his will is. I'm led to believe that the disciples did come together upon the first day of the week, just as often as it came, for the purpose of breaking bread. I'm led to believe from the 1 Corinthian epistle in chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, that in that coming together upon the first day of the week, they also gave as they were prospered. This was taken out of what they had. It was not taken out of things that they didn't have, but it certainly was accepted that a man would give of the things that he had out of his prosperity. Now, the book doesn't say, I command you to give, but it tells us what the will of the Father is, and to be good children, we certainly are going to comply with his teaching. Prayer, singing, exhortation, teaching that would benefit each and every one being edified by this teaching in the Lord are those things that are a part of our worship. And then when I read the 12th chapter of Romans, I'm led to believe from that very first verse that he wants our life to be that which is, well, really circumspectly. He wants us to walk in that manner. He wants us not to present our bodies to the world of sin, but he says in Romans 12 and 1 that we may present our bodies as a living sacrifice that will be holy and acceptable in his sight, which is our reasonable service or our spiritual worship. He tells us how to do this. He first of all tells us that we should not be conformed to this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of the Lord. So I want to say to you on the broadcast today, as the Bible closes, as it gives us this wonderful teaching, it tells us in a manner that we cannot misunderstand that the Lord wants us to do his commandments. After all, when you look at Revelation 22:14, you realize that it simply says that we would not have a right to the tree of life. We would not have a right to enter through the gates into the city unless we were willing to comply with his teaching. I'm wondering on the broadcast today, friends, if it's asking too much for us to be obedient children. You know, when you think about your own circumstance in life and you look back at your youth, in realizing your mother and father, let's say for sake of illustration, that your mother and father were sincere and conscientious people. They wanted their children to be raised right, and so they thought about their own upbringing. They thought about the responsibility that they had, and so they set before you, your brothers and your sisters, whatever the occasion of life might be, the right example. They wanted you to do the right thing. They not alone wanted you to be a notable and upright citizen. They not alone wanted you to let the name that you were wearing from your own human family be held high, certainly not put down in the mud. And if they were Christians, they certainly added the dimension there. They wanted you to be Christian men and women. And I'm sure as you have children coming into your family, perhaps there are those listening today who do not have a family as yet, but you're looking forward as you grow in this life, as you go through the various areas of life, to eventually having a family. What do you want those children to be like? You want them to be good people. You want them truly not alone to have a respect for you, but also a respect for all things that are good. So the thing you're going to try to instill in their mind is a certain course of values that are outstanding. We point to you the Word of God, recognizing the fact that God has a desire that we may make heaven our home. He has a desire that we may walk in this life, presenting our bodies truly as a living sacrifice that will be holy and acceptable to God. So it's an important thing when we ponder such a passage as Revelation 22:14, that we keep the thought before our mind that here is the finishing of the greatest book in the entire world. Here is a teaching that can help us to not alone make our life profitable here to our fellow man, but also to make our life acceptable in the sight of Almighty God. Remember when Jesus was asked during his personal ministry, which was the greatest commandment in the law? You remember he simply said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This was the first and great commandment. And the second was likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now when you put these two together, you're putting ingredients together that definitely come from the Word of God. In fact, when James was defining Christianity, he called it pure religion in James 1:27. He said it was undefiled before God, which means it's pure before God. He talked about an obligation to our fellow man in visiting or caring for the fatherless and widows. He also said, in keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. So that's the way you want your life to be. That's the way you want the lives of your children to be. So we point to the Word of God. And here is a true line of life that will help us to do those things that are acceptable in His sight. I want to close this broadcast today by having a word of prayer before we leave you. And we're praying that all who listen today and those who cannot hear, that are outside of Christ, will obey the gospel, hearing the word, believing it, repenting of their sins, confessing their faith in Christ, that they believe Christ is the Son of God, and following that with baptism in Christ. In other words, obeying the commandments in primary obedience. And to those who are in Christ Jesus, that they may serve thee diligently, realizing the love that they have for their Heavenly Father can alone be displayed before the world and before the presence of God with a willingness to follow the wonderful teaching. Yes, such as blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. We leave this lesson with you as we do look into God's Word, and as we pray, Heavenly Father, that there may indeed be a great benefit derived by this teaching. This truly is our humble prayer that comes from our heart today. In Jesus' name, and amen. We want to thank the brethren for making this series possible. This is the final broadcast in the current series of Potent Passages to Ponder. We hope you'll tune in again next week, as we turn the Bible to outstanding teaching that will benefit you and your entire family. Why don't you do us a favor this week in announcing this broadcast to your friends and neighbors, and also be sure to be in the house of the Lord. It is a truth that we can obey that will make us free, may we say, from sin, and free to live for Him.